Hello and welcome to the CBS Sports Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Chris Towers, and we've got Miami weirdness, we've got roster trends, we've got our FanDuel lineups, Week 20 preview. But first, Beck Harper, what's your go-to wedding dance song? What's the one song that when you're at, because I went to a wedding this weekend, what's the one song that when it comes on, you rush to the dance floor?
I'm not sure I ever really leave it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good policy.
Yeah.
You gotta have a good pair of shoes, but if
right,
you do,
yeah,
you're good.
Well, the key to the shoes, too, is that it has to have a little bit of grip.
Yeah.
But you still want to be able to, you know, slide around, do a few James Brown moves. really, I think with James Brown.
I don't do the James Brown moves.
Okay.
That's a little too... It requires a level of flexibility that I cannot reach.
Right.
You know, it's mostly... I try to keep it pretty limited. I'm not going down to the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I paid good money for my suit. I'm not going to scuff it.
Sure, you're not going to drop. You'll drop it like it's mild temperature,
yeah,
but not like it's
medium.
Hot. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
So anything James around?
Yeah, anything. I mean, just the usual rotation of songs is pretty good. I mean, there's always the, you know, when they do the garter belt. I think it's a lot of like the, what's the Top Gun song? Not Danger Zone, but
Danger Zone.
No, the other one.
The Everly Brothers,
yeah,
or the Isley Brothers song,
yeah, one of the Brothers songs,
yeah.
I don't remember which one, but that song is always a favorite because the guys get down on their knees and all this stuff. You know, that's a good one. Did the wedding go well? Did they go through with it?
Yeah. No,
okay.
Nobody walked away.
That makes the reception really awkward.
There was I've never experienced that.
I haven't either, but I would just assume
there was a crying baby throughout the entire ceremony, which,
yeah,
I'm not sure if that's a good or bad sign.
It wasn't
their baby.
I went to a wedding where they said no kids.
That's fair.
That was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
You didn't have to watch what you said.
Yeah.
Feel good about drinking as much as you wanted.
Especially if it's in a church, a hot church. You don't want kids. They just get miserable really quickly. Especially,
right,
like, it's adorable to see a child in a suit, but they get,
sure,
really unhappy with it.
Yeah.
So
as they should. I mean,
it was a good wedding though.
Yeah, kids run around and,
yeah,
roll around in the dirt and stuff, and that doesn't look good with a suit.
You know, I like to go campy with my wedding songs,
okay,
when I dance. So it. Taylor Swift this weekend.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I haven't been to a wedding in the Taylor,
okay,
Swift era.
Okay. Lady Gaga is always,
okay,
always a crowd pleaser,
sure,
at a wedding. So those are my two.
Okay.
Those are my two go-to. So I guess we can talk about basketball.
Are they still doing the Dougie at weddings?
Not at this one.
Okay.
But maybe it's, I don't know how to do.
Oh.
Someone needs to teach me.
It's not, there's really not a lot to it. It's a lot of just like shoulder dipping and stuff. It's pretty easy.
I clear the floor when there's a, when there's like a synchronized dancing,
yeah.
Anytime the
like, you wouldn't do the electric slide.
Ironically, maybe.
Okay.
But like,
I don't know if people still do that at weddings.
No, there's always like every 5 years there's a new one.
Yeah.
And I clear the floor as soon as I hear someone start going to the left. And
yeah.
Just, no.
I don't like the everyone clap your hands song. Everybody clap your, that one.
That's only at sporting events, really.
I've been to a couple of wedding receptions where that was played, and people loved it, and they all went on the dance floor, but
no,
I'm not a fan. I don't like that song.
I stay away. I'm not going to go with the group.
Yeah. Oh, you all also, right, don't... They just ask, how low can you go? And your answer
that's
not
true.
Very
not,
low.
Not that low.
Yeah.
I got hip problems. I skateboarded a lot growing up, you know?
Right.
So I guess, talk about basketball, not a ton of big news this weekend, but we did have Russell Westbrook continuing to be absolutely absurd. He had 30 points, 11 rebounds, 17 assists, 4 steals, and a block in Sunday's game.
Just one block?
Just one block.
Wow.
And 9 turnovers. So
yeah.
Step your game up, Russ.
Right.
He is averaging 34.3 points, 10.3 rebounds, 11.4 assists since the All-Star break, and only 36.4 minutes per game.
That's really the
crazy part. I figured that like the crazy numbers would be like 42, 44 minutes per,
yeah,
game, but he's really not playing all that much.
And he's... crazy efficiency for the amount of usage.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
64.3 fantasy points per game.
I would pick
him
up
the All-Star.
Off
if
the
he's
waivers.
Available off,
yeah,
waivers, definitely worth an ad.
Right.
And with like daily fantasy, we're going to talk about our FanDuel lineups later, but at some point you like at what point can you not play him? Like there's no price that they could make that it wouldn't be worth,
right,
it.
Right, cuz he's getting 60 to 80 FanDuel points every night.
Like, if he was 13,000?
Because that's the thing. The one game in the last six, he didn't get a triple-double. He scored, like, 43?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's 43 points right there in FanDuel.
Yeah, it's absolutely absurd what he's doing. And, yeah, I wonder, like, there's always, when you're playing in the guaranteed prize pool tournaments, there's always some talk of, like, you go with a contrarian point of view.
Right.
You say everybody in the tournament is going to have one player. So if he does poorly, everybody in the tournament loses. And
yeah.
If you don't have him, that's a good thing. But that's not happening at all with Russell Westbrook.
No.
Like, so it's just, okay, his last five games, 69.7, 62.1, 87.2, 68.1, 74.3. His worst game in the last seven was a 45-point game, a triple-double in 28 minutes against the Pacers.
I mean, his worst game in the last seven is 45 FanDuel.
Yeah, his worst game is, like, if that's his floor, that's most players' ceiling.
Right.
It's, yeah, if they made him 13,000 for his next game, I think I would still...
You'd have to do it.
It's really crazy. The Miami Heat are very strange right now. They've been banged up.
As they are wont to do.
They've had a lot of guys on 10-day contracts who are actually, like, performing. So I wanted to talk about them, you're there all the time.
I am.
I know it's not great for your health.
Might go there tonight.
Maybe.
Really starting to doubt whether I want to go to the game.
Was it Heat-Celtics?
Heat-Celtics.
I mean, it could at least be somewhat fun-ish because they'll run.
It's hard to sell me on, hey, go watch Evan Turner for 35 minutes.
That's always a problem.
I just got a bunch of stuff I'm working on, so can't work on it there. I got to pull a bunch of video. It would behoove me to stay home tonight, but not that many games left in the season, so
yeah.
I might just end up going anyway.
All right, so let's see if we can figure out the Heat. Over the last six games, they have six different players averaging double figures in scoring.
Of course.
Some of these names make sense. Dwayne Wade, Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, Luol Deng. Those are pretty good players.
Yeah.
Something named Tyler Johnson.
Hey.
And Michael Beasley.
Tyler Johnson
is
maybe the best shooting guard in basketball right now.
Is
he a shooting guard? Is he a point guard?
He's a small shooting guard.
Small shooting guard, yeah.
Yeah, he's averaging... He's third on the team in scoring over the last six games. He had a couple of really big games. He had 24 against the Kings on Saturday. He had 26 against the Suns, and he only played 6 minutes last Wednesday. So the question is, when Dragic and Wade are both healthy, you know, Dragic has been dealing with a back injury. Wade gets a night off every once in a while. Is Johnson worth owning at all? Does he have any fantasy value?
I don't think you can. I mean, you'd have to be in a pretty deep league.
Yeah.
Like, he's played fantastic, and it's fun to watch, but you got to think Dragic and Wade are getting the majority of those minutes and opportunities, and after that, it's Mario.
Yeah.
And anything Johnson gets is just kind of like icing on the cake. And so
yeah.
I don't know how you would trust him. Like, if you're doing a weekly lineup, I don't know how you trust that his three games that week are going to be actual three games.
Unless, like, if you knew, like, they had one set of back-to-backs and Goran Dragic was dealing with an injury like he is right now, it might be worth a risk, but I agree. Like, you know, he's played four of the last six. He's averaging 28 minutes in those four games, and it's each of the last four. But you still have Mario Chalmers playing more minutes than him. Henry Walker is averaging 27 minutes per game over the last six. The Heat are in a really strange spot right now. Would you trust anyone besides Dragic, Wade, and Whiteside?
No.
You know, Luol Deng's dealing with a thigh injury right now.
I didn't really trust him when he was healthy. He wasn't bad, but it's...
Yeah, he was fine.
I mean, maybe Mario could be trusted in a deeper league, right? 14-team league?
Heat fans wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
Deng was averaging 15.8, 5 rebounds, 2 assists per game since the All-Star break before this injury. So he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I would trust him. He's one guy that I think I definitely would trust. But beyond those four, you're not trusting Michael Beasley, right? He's still on a 10-day contract. He got his second one. He's averaging like 10.5 points per game, but it's on 10.8 field goal attempts. There's been, you know, Eric Spoelstra actually seems to like him from all accounts, from all the quotes. So, you know, he seems to trust him. He knows the system. But from a fantasy perspective, he doesn't really give you anything besides scoring.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, they've had to throw him at the five a little bit, so maybe he'll get you some rebounds.
Yeah.
He could get you a block. Mm-hmm. He could get you a steal.
Yeah. I guess it depends if Whiteside's out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, if Whiteside is bothered by this ankle, you know, further, then yeah, you could maybe trust having him on the roster for a week.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, I mean, if Whiteside's playing,
then
there's no need for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's benefiting from the fact that Deng and Whiteside both missed the last game. Deng's missed the last two. Henry Walker, anything, the backup shooting guard, he's actually playing 27 minutes per game over the last six. Do you see anything there? Shooting, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he's taken a lot of threes.
Yeah.
If you need threes, he may give you one or two a game, even if he's not playing regular minutes.
Yeah.
Because
he
is chucking.
He's averaging...
But they're good shots, too. It's not like he's just pulling up against two defenders. Like, they're within the flow of the offense.
He's shooting pretty poorly. 22% over the last five games from three, 1.4 per game, though. That's pretty good. But the overall shooting percentage is pretty bad. He's getting a lot of shots, which is interesting.
Yeah. He's kind of the Heat's Jay Crowder.
Yeah, kind of. He's got a green light.
Yeah.
You know, he can play a couple different positions. He gives them a little versatility. It's a team that has really desperately needed a backup shooting guard all season. So it's they're in a weird spot right now, but you still feel good about Wade and Whiteside, right? And Dragić.
Yeah, those are all, you know, very like high quality starters for your team.
And do you get any inclination, any idea that they might shut those guys down at some point?
I don't think so. I mean, they're right in the middle of this playoff race.
Maybe, they're in the eighth seed. I think they're half a game or one game behind the seventh seed.
Yeah, and this is a pretty, you know, Monday night's game is pretty important for the playoff race because Boston really gets into it if they beat Miami, and Miami could, you know, they don't have a lot of easy games coming up, so they need to take advantage of the easier games that they have. So I don't know. I just don't unless it's like the last week of the season
and they're
four games out of it. I don't see them shutting anybody down.
Yeah, I think that's right. They're too pot committed. They don't really have anything. Like, they're too far away from getting that top 10 protection on that pick.
Right.
That it just there's no incentive for them to shut it down
right.
unless Wade gets hurt. But you know, I've seen a little bit of talk of like, are you worried about Wade? Are you worried about those guys getting? Only because of injury. We're not going to see like a, what was it, 2006, 2007 Heat, or 2007, 2008, where
they
shut Wade down.
That's not going to happen. I can't imagine that happens unless they lose like the next seven games.
Yep. All right, let's go to our email of the day. Kyle in Australia. Hey, guys, I just had to drop Wesley Matthews for Jason Richardson. Say something positive. Jason Richardson's got a green light.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia. This was what we thought last season.
He's making threes.
He's making a lot of threes. 2.1 per game in seven games. He's 27.8% over his last three games, which isn't great.
I've seen better.
5 for 18. But he went 0 for 4. He went 0 for 10 from the field against the Jazz on Friday. But that...
Pretty sure I had him in my FanDuel lineup that night.
Yes, you did. He had 0 points. 2 assists, 3 rebounds. He's actually... You know, he's giving you 11.6 points, 2.1 assists, 4.3 rebounds, 2.1 3-pointers.
Those aren't terrible numbers.
Those aren't bad numbers. He's not playing every day. That's the biggest problem, you know. If they have a back-to-back, if they have a 2 and 3 nights, you know, you might not see him out there. But he's actually playing decently well since joining them. He's only guard eligible. If he was forward eligible, I'd like him a little more. But it's not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
If you need a Wesley Matthews replacement... And a flaw is not available, and you know, some of those other guys, Aaron Brooks or Isaiah Kanan, you know, he's in that, he's probably in that discussion with those guys. Tyler Johnson's
picked
of the
up
world.
Already, yeah.
So let's look at roster trends. Actually, let's look at the most added and most dropped players over the last week in CBSSports.com. The headliner Nikola Mirotić up 51 from 51% to 82. He's the most added. That's not a surprise at all, right?
No, and I'm a little shocked it's as low as 82. I guess they're, you know, 10-team league if you're in that. He's not going to be there.
But even that, I think I'd still, the way he's playing right now.
Have him on your bench at least,
yeah,
right?
He's averaging 21.4 points, 7.2 rebounds over his last five. He's giving you 3-point shooting. He's getting the free throw line a ridiculous amount. I think it's 9 per game.
Yeah.
Over the last 5, which coincides with Rose and Butler's injuries. So I think he's a must add in every league at this point. You know, the Taj Gibson question is a little concerning, but I had somebody ask me earlier whether I'd rather have Nikola Mirotic or Danilo Gallinari. They're both owned in 82% of leagues. I'd take Mirotic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Gallinari has a more consistent role, but there's questions about the injury. Like, he has as much doubt, I think, as Mirotic. Yeah. And Mirotic has more upside.
I agree with that. I think Mirotic's role is going to be more consistent. Even if they get healthy, you can't keep his scoring, you know, off the floor with Rose not back. Now, maybe maybe if Rose comes back, then maybe the lineup, you know, shifts a little bit. When Butler comes back, it shifts a little bit. But with Denver, they're more likely to just see what they have in other players.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have a ton of guys at the small forward position, but he's actually playing shooting guard right now, mostly, which is where Will Barton plays. He's got some upside.
Gary Harris.
So it's possible that they go and see what they have down the stretch. I like Gallinari. I like what he's doing, but I would definitely take Mirotić over him. Number 2 most added, up from 14% to 36, Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder.
Dennis S. from the Atlanta Hawks, point guard. 12.9 points, 6.5 assists per game since the All-Star break. And one thing I really like about the possibility of adding him is their Hawks magic number is like 10, I think.
Yeah.
They've got like 22 games left. They're pretty much locked in. Like, they would take an absolute disaster for them to not get the first seed. They might lock it up in the next 5 or 6 games.
Right.
And at that point, this is a Greg Popovich disciple. You know, we're going to see guys. We've already seen them start resting guys. It's possible Dennis Schroeder gets an extended look at a starting job at some point.
He could have that. Mike Scott could have that kind of impact. Yeah, I like adding him. I don't know that he's a must own.
Yeah, I mean, guard is so deep, but 13.2 points, 7 assists per game over the last 5. He's got at least 6 in each of the last 5.
Yeah. I think he projects to be a pretty good steals person because he's ball hawking all the time, 94 feet. So I think he could get a couple of cheap ones, you know, throughout the week and really bolster that category for you. Yeah, he probably should be owned in a little bit more than half the leagues.
Yeah,
I would think. Also depends on how deep your team is, but yeah, he's definitely an option for your fantasy playoffs. Absolutely.
Yeah, I could see him being a top 50 guard.
He could steal you, you know, a playoff series.
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, if they've already started resting Teague every once in a while. But if they say, you know, Jeff Teague's going to sit out the last 5 games of the season and your playoffs go that deep, that could be a huge boost that Dennis Schroeder gives you.
Yeah.
Isaiah Kanan, still climbing. There were some people jumping ship after he struggled, but he's had a couple of big games and he's back up. He's scoring double figures 4 straight. He's got at least 3 assists in each of those 4. You still adding him? He's up to 66%.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of competency with that position for that team.
Yeah.
And so I think that, moving forward the rest of the season, they're going to want to see what they have in him because he could be their future point guard unless obviously someone better could come around. Maybe they get Moutier in the draft or something like that. But he's such a weapon in a category that they need so much of because they are such a bad three-point shooting team. Like with Mirotić, I'm shocked that he's that low.
Yeah.
It feels like he should be an 80 to 90% guy.
Yeah, he's at 15.6 points, 4.4 assists, 3.8 three-pointers made over the last 5 games. 30.8 minutes, so he's getting a lot of playing time as well. Number 4, Danilo Gallinari, like we talked about. Ersan Ilyasova, I wrote about this for my my week 20 fantasy planner on fantasynews.cbssports.com. I still can't bring myself to trust Ersan Ilyasova.
So
I've been
hard.
Hurt too much.
Yeah, it's just...
I really believed in him for a couple of years.
He has all the tools you would want. He's a good rebounder. He's a good outside shooter. Like, he has all these skills, but you just get so many dips in the production. And I don't know that you feel confident he's going to have consistent minutes, even with that position thinning out for them a little bit. if you pick him up and you feel like he's a good addition to your team, I don't fault you for that, but yeah. I'm with you. Like, I don't think I could trust it unless they had another big injury.
And I'm not holding on to him too tightly.
Right.
You know, because especially with, you know, the one Jason Kidd has shown in his NBA career that he's not going to be holding to anybody's expectations for what their role should be or what their minutes should be or what position they play.
Right.
He's going to play whoever gives him the best chance to win at any given point.
Right.
And that's a really good asset for a coach to have, but from a fantasy perspective, it's a nightmare. We've seen John Henson. We've seen Jared Dudley. We've seen all these guys play power forward and get pretty good minutes, pretty good production, where Ilyasova was being buried on the bench. He gives them shooting, which they need, especially with the one thing that makes me think Ilyasova could keep his role is just when you're playing Michael Carter-Williams at point guard, you pretty much need a stretch four on the floor at all times.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could get away with a lineup that features Carter-Williams, John Henson, and Zaza Pachulia. Like, you just could not play that together, especially with, you know, they're starting a point guard and a shooting guard now that don't, neither one of them shoots at all. You know, Michael Carter-Williams and Giannis.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has taken, I mean,
Is he under 25 three-pointers attempted?
He's taken 34 this year.
Okay.
Good reason. He's
really
making 17% of them. He's only hit 6 this year.
He was decent last season, but it was on a low volume.
Yeah.
And it was like, he was under like 25% before the All-Star break, and then on like 60 attempts afterwards, he was like 39%.
Right.
And so there was some reason for hope, but, you know, it's...
Michael Carter-Williams has taken 8 in 6 games. He's only hit 1.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't shoot. Like,
no,
that's not a question.
And so I don't think you're not doing this, but I don't think you fault Giannis for not taking
him
because he's producing other places. Yeah. But
he's getting the free throw
line.
That
is a category he doesn't give you, and it's a shot that, you know, outside of OJ Mayo, they don't really.
Well,
Chris Middleton's obviously a great shooter, but they don't have a lot of shooters.
Yeah.
And you can't play all these wings to, well, Jason Kidd might disagree, but you can't really play all these wings together and still get the effect for what he's going for. So Ersan does become really important. He's only making 35% this year.
But he's been hot lately. Over the last 5, he's 2 per game at 45%. So
right.
Really good. OJ Mayo is dealing with an injury, so in the short term, you know, Mayo hasn't played 4 of the last 5 games. And really, at this point, Ilyasova is getting a lot of minutes and a lot of shots. So if you need a short-term pickup, he's worth an add. But I wouldn't necessarily expect him to continue. If he's bad during the fantasy playoffs, it wouldn't shock me.
Right. I agree with that.
Let's look at the most dropped. James Johnson, down 10%. The most dropped was Wesley Matthews, obviously.
Right. But
that's not his fault. Nothing we can do about that. But James Johnson,
you have a revolutionary... That's Achilles
true.
Repairing procedure that you want to unveil and that will work on him and bring him back next game.
And if you do, I mean, why are you sitting on it?
Patent that.
Yeah, obviously, maybe the patent process is really...
Yeah, it does take a while.
All right. So James Johnson, for a while there, he was shooting really well. He was filling up the box score. He's still filling up the box score, but his minutes are down. He hasn't played more than 20 minutes in any of the last 4 games. The Raptors... rotation has been kind of a mess. Terrence Ross was back in the starting lineup. Johnson was back off the bench. Sunday's game against the Thunder, and he only played 15 minutes. Shot 10 times in that 15 minutes, which isn't ideal for James Johnson. 2 for 10.
He's a guy that you kind of just, if you're going to have him, you need him to be a light version of what Gerald Wallace was for the Bobcats for years, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's got to be a guy that gets you at least a steal and a block a game, preferably 2. But he's just not... He's not a complete player, mm-hmm. and you need him to be a complete player because so little of his role is defined that he has to produce in a little bit in all these areas.
Yeah, he's not necessarily someone that, you know, like Ersan Ilyasova will be. He's not someone that you're necessarily holding on to too tight.
Exactly.
Like, he's someone that you read the tea leaves. If it looks like his role's going away like it is right now, you drop him. If, you know, Terrence Ross goes back into a slump, he's been hot lately, but if he goes back into a slump, and then James Johnson gets back into the starting lineup, or, you know, they try to limit Amir Johnson's minutes for whatever reason. He's, you know, I think he's had a bulky ankle, so maybe you look back at him, but he's someone that's definitely the last guy on your roster.
Right.
Avery Bradley, down 8%. He's dealing with an elbow injury. Not sure right now how long that's going to keep him out. He's not traveling with the team on their current road trip. Langston Galloway, down 8% as well.
Maybe that... Maybe that bandwagon lost an axle.
Yeah, I was never fully on it.
Yeah.
I just, watching him, I was never completely impressed with his skill set. He only took 2 shots in a Saturday's game against the Pacers, averaging 8 points per game over the last 5.
It's also, he, playing for such a slow team,
yeah,
such a inept team, you kind of hoped he would be like a, what is the, like a looter in,
yeah,
a riot kind of thing, and he was for a little while. Now he's got to maybe figure out another way of attacking.
Yeah, you've got a big part of it is his scoring load has gone down because Bargnani's the centerpiece of their offense.
For
good or bad. They do play 5 times in week 20, so if efficiency is not a concern, or if you're in a head-to-head points league that, you know, you're not playing the average, you're playing the total points, Galloway probably has some value there, you know, this week. But beyond that, I'm not too confident in him. You know, he's doing this with Jose Calderon hurt. You know,
right.
He's putting up these kind of mediocre numbers when Calderon's not playing. You know who's, Alexi Shved is playing a decent amount of minutes for the Knicks and actually producing. Do you have any interest in Alexi Shved?
I've got a lot of interest in.
But as a...
Oh, as a basketball player? No, I don't. I'm going to have to pass on that one.
12.8 points, 3.2 assists per game over the last 5, 15-plus in 3 of the last 4. He's getting minutes, he's getting shots, but, man, beyond week 20, again, they play 5 times this week, but beyond that, ugh. Yusuf Nurkic, dealing with a lingering ankle injury,
yeah,
not sure when he's going to be back.
That kind of sucks, because he was so... Well, I mean, he's still promising, but, like...
Yeah.
He was fun. Not only he was fun to have, but like you did like the even the swings of his production. You could kind of roll with a little bit.
Yeah,
you'd like to see him get back on the court.
And you were hoping that down the stretch they would just start going to him more often,
right,
building around him.
Could it be possible that things fell apart because they got rid of JaVale?
You get rid of his mentor.
Yeah.
One thing I do like is Kenneth Fareed's playing a lot of center. He's center eligible now in CBSSports.com leagues, which gives him a little more production, a little more value. And he's averaging 14 points and 12 rebounds since they fired Brian Shaw, which is pretty much exactly what we expected to happen. You know, you get rid of the guy who hates Kenneth Fareed, all of a sudden Kenneth Fareed starts playing
a little happier,
consistent minutes, and he's
a little more consistent.
He's productive.
Yeah, energetic.
You know, he wasn't what Brian Shaw wanted, but that doesn't mean he's not good.
You know what? I bet Brian Shaw wasn't what he wanted either.
Yeah, that seems to have been the case for about a year and a half. And Jarrett Jack down from 86% to 79%. His role's fluctuating. Would you drop him?
I don't think I'd drop him, but you know, you're definitely looking for better options the rest of the season.
Yeah, 9.8 points, 4.4 assists per game over the last 10. Would you,
like, for instance, if either were available, are you trusting him or are you trusting Mo Williams the rest of the season?
Mo Williams.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Because they're both going to be splitting time. I think what Mo's shown in Charlotte, you know, has been really impressive, even with Kemba Walker coming back. I think he could be a 12 points, 4 assists per game guy.
Yeah.
Kanan or Jack rest of the season?
Kanan.
Schroeder or Jack?
Jack.
Probably Jack, I don't necessarily feel great about it. You know, it all changes. I guess the thing with Jack is, it's all about Deron Williams. If Deron Williams goes down with another injury, or if they decide to shut him down, they're actually out of the playoffs right now. So if they decide to shut him down, then Jack becomes, I think, a must-own player again. But that's the biggest hurdle for him. Let's look at our FanDuel lineups for Monday. Zach, what have you got?
This is a weird one.
It's a weird night.
Yeah, I don't feel great about my choices, but I don't feel great about the choices out there anyway.
Yeah, that's basically what I said in my column on fantasynews.cbssports, is that the good news is that everybody else has to choose from these weird matchups too.
Right.
But, you know, in my column, I look at I do a combined FanDuel points allowed for each team, and usually 400 is a great game combined for each team. 390 is okay.
Yeah.
Only half of the 8 games on the schedule feature more than 390 points. So it's a pretty it's a pretty mediocre collection of games.
Should be a great night for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, because you've got the Clippers and Warriors on the second night of a back to back.
Yeah.
Going against teams that they should blow out, but there's some questions about it. You've got the Hawks going against the Kings. The Hawks have a crazy schedule this week. They play the Kings, the Suns, the Lakers, and the... They play the Timberwolves or the Celtics.
I feel like it's the Celtics.
Yeah, they're going to put up a lot of points, but they might not play any of their starters in any of those games.
All right, my lineup. Point guard, I went with Isaiah Thomas, who I think will be great. We did against a video today, and he's...
The Heat still struggle against three-point shooting.
Yeah, he's averaging like 31 FanDuel points since he became a Celtic, and for $7,000, you'll take 31 FanDuel points, and his highest scoring average of his career is against the Heat. So he averages 21 points a game against the Heat. Only five games, but still.
I remember he had a crazy shootout with Mario Chalmers one game. It was a West Coast game, and I think Chalmers made 10 three-pointers, and Isaiah Thomas had like 38 points.
I also have Mario Chalmers in my lineup at point guard going against the Celtics because I do think like he can get caught up. Part of it is I'm not sure Dragic will play.
Yeah.
So I may rethink that if it turns out Dragic is going to play.
Dang, Dragic and Whiteside are all questionable.
Right. And, you know, with Dragic, I think it's a back issue.
Yeah.
So they're probably going to be a little bit more careful with that. Isaiah, Mario, those are my two-point guards. I got Ben McLemore for cheap against the Hawks. I like the way he's playing. The production isn't necessarily consistent. Mm-hmm. But I like the way that he's got things opened up for him a little bit with George Karl there. And I think he can take advantage, even against a great defense like the Hawks. You know, they may not... They may be up 20, and Ben McLemore gets some free points there. I have Giannis Antetokounmpo going against the Pelicans. He's still only 6,100. He's been good enough and
he's been up and down,
he's been consistent enough to where I feel good for 6,100. Chris Middleton 6,700. Love his value tonight. He's been on fire.
Yep.
30 FanDuel points a game since the All-Star break. He's shooting 44% from three. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was a weird selection.
He's been awesome, though.
He's
a lot of rebounds.
Awesome. Yeah, he rebounded like crazy. I think he'll get some steals.
Blocked two shots yesterday in the most recent game.
So he was a guy I needed someone under $6,000. He's 5,900. Going against the Wizards, I think he can take advantage of that matchup. Anthony Davis is my big buy tonight. A lot of people will have him.
Yeah.
It's kind of that thing. I was trying to decide between him and Steph Curry. I still may switch it out and go with Curry, drop Chalmers, and then try to find a cheap power forward. But you know, rolling dice with Anthony Davis isn't that bad. I like Kenneth Faried, only $6,200. Price hasn't caught up to his production yet. $6,200 against the Knicks, even though it's a slow game. I think they'll try to push. Yeah. And then my center, Joakim Noah, $7,200. I wanted Whiteside, but he's just a little outside that price range now. I think at what, $8,300?
$8,300,
didn't have that extra, you know, $900 to $1,000 to spend. And so with Noah, he's been getting so many assists lately.
Yep.
I feel good about the matchup.
Yeah, I've got Whiteside ready to switch him out if his ankle keeps bothering him. I've got four Denver Nuggets.
Oh,
in my lineup.
Expect a lot out of that game.
I don't feel really don't feel great about it. But the Knicks defense is horrendous. I believe they are 30th in the league in offensive efficiency, and 29th since the All-Star break in defense. So they're a disaster. I've got J.J. Hickson and Kenneth Faried as my power forwards. They only cost me $10,000 combined, so I figure if Hickson can give me anything with the way Faried's playing, I like it. Jay Crowder against Miami. Miami still has trouble. Even with switching their defensive system, they still have trouble defending the three-point line. And he's, you know, we know he's got a green light. Wilson Chandler against the Knicks as well, $6,000. Will Barton against the Knicks, $4,500. Those are my four Nuggets. I've got Dwayne Wade at $7,700 against Boston. You know, assuming Dragic is out, assuming Deng is out, if they play, it might change my opinion. But no Avery Bradley to give Dwayne Wade problems. I think, you know, he can overmatch. He's got the size. He's got the strength against the Celtics backcourt. And then I'm going big on my point guards. I've got Ricky Rubio against the Clippers. He had a big game against them last week. And Steph Curry against the Suns. That one feels like Curry might not play in the fourth quarter, but might have 45 FanDuel points anyway.
Right.
I think he's averaging 45 plus in each game against the Suns. So I think he'll be fine tonight. Second night of a back-to-back, but he's been pretty good on second night of back-to-backs. Anyway, he doesn't play a lot of minutes, no matter how much rest he has.
Right.
You know, that's Steve Kerr's done a good job of limiting his playing time. So that's my lineup. I'm ready to change a couple guys out if I need to, but I hope Hassan plays because he had 36 FanDuel points in 30 minutes against the Celtics last time they played. He could dominate, though.
Yeah, I wanted to find a way to put Rubio in the lineup.
Yeah.
But because he's 40 or more FanDuel points in 4 of his last 5 games.
He's been awesome.
He's been great since coming back. But that was really the only one where I was like, I really got to get him in the lineup. I felt similar about Hassan, but the ankle injury is a little worrisome.
All right, so if you want to play along, FanDuel.com is the leader in one-day fantasy basketball. There's no season-long commitment, and you play for real money with immediate cash payouts. Leagues start from just $1. Join FanDuel today, and they'll match your first deposit. Dollar for dollar, up to $200 when you use the promo code CBS Hoops. That's FanDuel.com, promo code CBS Hoops. Let's move on to news and notes, and then emails to close out the show. If you want to get your email on the show, fantasyhoops@cbsi.com. Jamal Crawford expected back after Blake Griffin. Jamal Crawford dealing with a calf injury. Blake Griffin, ESPN.com reports he could return next Sunday.
Yes.
So it's good for the playoffs. If somebody dropped him, definitely worth stashing. I would pick him up, but he's probably still owned.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be fine. Doc Rivers did say he thinks his conditioning and his shape is better than it was before the injury, actually, which is a pretty good sign because Blake Griffin's in pretty good shape all the time. J.J. Redick, a solid pickup if he's available, as long as Jamal Crawford's out. Alfred Payton was starting to lose playing time last minute to, like, Willie Green, which is not smart.
It's a weird decision.
But he's played 40-plus in consecutive games. He has 29 points, 14 rebounds, and 19 assists in those two games. Just ride him. There's no reason for the Magic to be messing with his playing time.
No.
Kyle Lowry came back from his trash rest and shot 14 of 37 from the field in his first two games. That's not great. 19.5 points, 5 assists, 3.5 rebounds per game in his two games back. Got to assume he'll get better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time, this slump, but just kind of, there's nothing you can do.
He's too good of a player to extend this streak much longer.
The Knicks are apparently considering re-signing Andrea Bargnani this offseason, and they are also open to trading their first-round pick, which you should be open to trading anything if the right deal. Like, if DeMarcus Cousins becomes available, there's no reason they shouldn't trade him the first-round pick for him.
Why is there this idea that DeMarcus Cousins would be the target? Like a realistic target. The Kings aren't giving him up.
Yeah, it always comes out to who's the young star who could be disgruntled, but why would, like,
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're not going to give him up. They're stubborn. And George Karl just got there. Why would he jump ship when George Karl just got there? But that's the go-to.
He signed through 2018.
Yeah. And that's the go-to, like James Harden, you know, the young star who might want out. But James Harden was a completely different situation.
Yeah.
You know, the Kings aren't in financial trouble.
No, they actually have owners who have money this time.
Yeah, there's no looming, you know, luxury tax issues with them. But Bargnani has been playing well for the Knicks this season. For Bargnani.
For him, yeah.
Nick Young could miss the rest of the season with a knee injury. Byron Scott publicly said he's having a bad season, which is true. But it's a weird thing to say, because he also then said that he wants to see Nick Young come back and get some playing time to build his confidence. Why are you tearing his confidence down publicly if you want him to build his confidence up? Frank Vogel sounds like they are not counting on Paul George, which is a good thing.
I think. They said we're not even thinking about.
We're
Paul
not
George
thinking
right
about
now.
Paul George.
That's
right
just
now.
Rude. It's part of the team.
I mean, he's practicing. Like,
at least say hello.
Like,
when
if
he walks
he's
by.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quote: we're not thinking about Paul George right now. Hopefully, he can make it back this year and get in some games. But how effective is he going to be having not played in a year? This is a serious injury that he still has a lot of hurdles to pass before he's even able to get back on the court. He's been practicing without limitation, but
I feel like
it sounds
everything we've been saying about him.
Yeah, I mean, this is the right way to go about it. Even if you think he can make a difference, you should downplay expectations.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've talked about he's worth stashing. He could, you know, he could make an impact, but he's not going to be Paul George. And I think that's the key. It sounds like the Pacers are publicly saying that they don't expect him to be able to carry them in the playoffs. And frankly, since the All-Star break, they haven't needed him. They have the best net rating in basketball since the All-Star break, which seems insane.
It's weird.
Because they're a team that couldn't score when they had good players last season.
Right.
And now they've got Rodney Stuckey playing 30 minutes a game. And
George Hill's been
Yeah, George Hill's
revelation.
Been awesome. Yeah, he's been really good. But this is just, this further underscores what we've been saying about Paul George, which is don't expect him to change anything. You know, he could be useful, but not, he won't be Paul George. Tim Hardaway, questionable Monday with back spasms. And Steven Adams returned from his from his hand injury, played 16 minutes off the bench, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. You would expect eventually he takes on the starting role from Enes Kanter, and gotcha, they use Kanter with the second unit, just because you can't really get away with playing a guy who a big man who needs that many touches when you've got Russell Westbrook and Ibaka, right, and eventually Kevin Durant.
And Durant comes back, right.
But he could be really good with the second unit. I think he'll still have some fantasy appeal. All right, let's finish off the show with some emails. Again, fantasyhoops@cbsi.com. We will read it on the air. Ronnie in Muskogee, Oklahoma. 12-team head-to-head, 8 categories. He's the second seed and a playoff lock. Should he trade Marc Gasol, Blake Griffin, and Trevor Ariza for Kevin Durant, Trey Burke, and Andrew Bogut? I don't think he should. 8 categories, turnovers don't hurt you.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
You're giving up, you know, the best big man in the trade. You're giving up the second best big man in the trade. And Trevor Ariza has been very useful in an 8-category league. And you're getting back Burke, who only gives you 3-pointers and scoring. Bogut, who's a good rebounder, but you don't know if you can rely on him. And Durant, who we don't know when he's going to be back.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, so definitely pass on that one. And then got another.
Even if it was just Gasol and Ariza for those three, I don't think I'd do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably right. We've got Lowell in Sydney.
Yeah.
Listens to the show every week from Sydney, Australia, in a head-to-head 9 category, 20-team league. He's 12-6.
Jesus.
He's got Mike Conley, Tariq Evans, Kevin Durant, Tim Duncan, Roy Hibbert, Robin Lopez, Draymond Green, presumably, George Hill, and Paul George. He just traded Mike Conley, Tariq Evans, and Robin Lopez for Chris Paul. Do you think it's a good trade?
I mean, that's giving up a lot.
Yeah, I think that's giving up a little too much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thought is when Durant comes back and if Paul George gives you anything,
yeah,
your team's loaded.
Yeah.
So I get the thought process behind it. I don't think it's a terrible trade, but that's giving up a lot for a lot of question marks coming
back
to your team.
Conley in terms of Durant. Conley's value is way low right now.
Yeah.
Conley, his assist numbers have completely disappeared over the last month or so. He hasn't been very good. I keep picking him up in FanDuel just because he's so cheap, and I figure he's got to regress at some point to the mean, but he hasn't yet. Tariq Evans, you're kind of selling high on. And Robin Lopez, I guess in a 20-team league, he's not replaceable, but you're not going to totally miss his production.
Right.
You know, 10 points, 6 or 7 rebounds, good percentages, but I think it's a little too much, but the only thing I would have said is maybe if you could have done it for George Hill and Mike Conley and Lopez, but I don't think the other person's going for that.
Right.
This might have been the only combination you could have gone with. He's also considering moving Kevin Durant and Tim Duncan to get LaMarcus Aldridge and Chris Middleton. Would you do that?
I like that.
You're getting
sure production.
Yeah. Middleton's been really good lately. LaMarcus Aldridge apparently doesn't need thumbs to play basketball,
right,
which is impressive.
Tim Duncan can't hit a shot anymore.
Yeah.
He's not going to hit a shot the rest of the season.
Look, one game sample size,
yeah,
but he hasn't hit a basketball shot in like 72 hours?
At least a game.
Yeah.
In at least one game.
But you
maybe
know,
more. I don't
there,
know.
There are the concerns
about... I don't know
about,
how to measure that.
it's at least one.
Yeah.
I think, for sure. But, you know, there's always concerns about him missing time down the stretch, getting rest. The Spurs are kind of starting to pull away from the pack at the bottom of the playoff race. I don't think there's any question they're going to make the playoffs this year, so it's just about seeding. I'm not sure how much the Spurs care about seeding. So we might start to see Tim Duncan get some nights off. Kevin Durant, we still don't know when he's going to be back. He's set to be reevaluated this week. Maybe if you can wait until like Wednesday and see if he's reevaluated and they give a timetable from that point on. But, you know, if it's another week beyond this, I would definitely make this trade.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for us on Monday. We'll be back on Wednesday with more of the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Again, if you want to get your email on the show, fantasyhoops@cbsi.com.
And don't forget to brag about how well your team's doing.
Yeah. Although, you know, we still haven't We said on our last show that we wanted to hear from teams that aren't doing so well.
Clearly.
I still want to.
Everyone who listens to this. Clean it up.
I guess, or maybe if you're still listening to the, like, 65th episode of the season, maybe you're still in it. And
right.
Everybody else who's out of it is probably just like, oh, I don't want to listen
I'm
to these guys.
I'm done with this,
anymore. They're not entertaining enough for me to keep listening.
Oh, here's the thing. We give advice.
Yeah.
It's your job to decide whether it's good advice or not. And so really it's on you.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Put it on the listener.
I like you absolving yourself of any blame or responsibility.
What I do.
It's a good tactic. So yeah, if your team hasn't gone well, you know, let us know where things went wrong. We want to hear about that too. We want to hear about the good things and the bad things. So send us at fantasyhoops@cbsi.com again, and we'll see you on Wednesday.